Good evening and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. For the 22nd of December, Thursday, 2022, brought to you by eternalaffairsmedia.com. This week's topic is the story of Christmas and more. Brought to you by eternalaffairsmedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater Game Over and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Should you feel led to plant a financial seed in our media ministry, please visit donate.eamedia.online or visit store.eamedia.online. Do please help keep the truth online. Most important, invite your friends over. Say a prayer for the evening. Special prayer for tonight for all our listeners and all the people in the world. Holy Father, we pray on this great weekend coming up, the great day of celebration of your name, Jesus Christ. On Christmas Day, we pray that people will see that Christmas is more than just boxes and toys and gadgets. Christmas is more than just for the young ones. That Christmas should mean more even to the adults than to the children. Place the love of your kind being in everyone's heart this Christmas. And let others know what Christmas is truly about. We pray in your heavenly name that you bring the light of God to this Christmas. Amen. And our donors, Lisa, Reverend Dave, Marcy, Bedlam, Mark, and Jay. Current Truth Premium subscribers, Linda, David, Bruce, Sharla, Diana, and Gary, and patrons, Alicia, and Dan. Good, solid folks that come back every time. We appreciate everything. We appreciate you most coming here, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah to everyone. Don't forget Boxing Day is coming up, and Kwanzaa, and all sorts of holidays. We're going to talk about some of these things tonight. This is the great thing about Christmas. It's beautiful. So we're going to do a couple things. Before we start on the Christmas itself, there was an interesting article, and since it's related to the Catholic Church, I'm going to bring this up. And I don't know if anybody had seen this anywhere, but apparently there was a priest. This was in the paper on the 9th of December in Vatican City. Vatican has defrocked an anti-abortion U.S. priest. Defrocked an anti-abortion priest, Frank Pavone, for what it said was blasphemous communications on social media, as well as persistent disobedience of his bishop, who repeatedly told him to stop his partisan activism for Donald Trump. A letter to U.S. bishops and a Vatican ambassador, the U.S. Archbishop Christopher Pierre Payne Sunday, said that the decision against Pavone, who heads the anti-abortion group Priests for Life, had been taken November the 9th, and that there was no chance for an appeal. How do you like that? An anti-abortion priest trying to save the children in the world, supporting Donald Trump, gets just thrown out. Just thrown out. Unbelievable. And, I will mention Eric just mentioned that there's the big cold snap coming in across the eastern part of the country, and parts of the whole country's in. That's serious issues over this Christmas, and particularly tomorrow we're getting in Pennsylvania here, we're getting a deep freeze going. It's going to be 41 degrees in the morning, and it's going to be 5 degrees at night, and it's going to go from 40 to 5 in about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So, take care of yourself, your pets, the elderly. Be a lot of heavy wet snow too on the trees and everything, so there could be power outages. We want to be very careful and cautious and mind our neighbors, our friends, and our relatives. Make sure everyone stays safe. God bless you. All right, thanks for that reminder, Eric. So there was a really interesting, I'm going to go over a couple pieces. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. They updated the History Channel. History.com updated the history of Christmas. It's kind of interesting, some of the things that are in there. Most people know these things, but they kind of put them together in one place. It's pretty cool. But we're going to go over some traditions first. The some places could have a white Christmas. Absolutely. All right. So a couple of interesting things down here in the coal country, down in Schuylkill County in particular in Pennsylvania, there's a tradition, a Christmas tradition, only made once a year. They make this thing called boil-o. It's boil-o is an interesting, I made it one year. And my eldest daughter fancied it pretty much, maybe a little too much. But it's an interesting drink. What you do is you boil up, and you can look this up on the internet. It's called boil-o, just the way it sounds. You cook up fruits and maybe vegetables. And most people use citrus, like lemons and oranges. They can put apples in it. It's pretty cool. And you boil this stuff up, and you put in some cinnamon and some anise and whatever other spices you want in there. You let it boil for a while. You boil it down until it's kind of a thick syrup, and then you pour in a bottle full of Four Queens whiskey, which is 110 proof. And you stir it up and take it out before it evaporates. And you serve it kind of like a punch. I mean, it's a punch with a kick. I mean, you don't drink much of this stuff. But every year they were making it. I thought it was just, I made it, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, right before the pandemic, just because I thought it was cool. But it really tastes good. So look it up. And there's instructions on how to make it on the internet. Might be something new for your Christmas. Before we get into the history of Christmas, I'm going to just mention that I've looking at things I'm doing this Christmas and have done in the Christmas pasts, but I'm doing it particularly in this Christmas. There's some things that you can do to, try and don't drink and drive. That's a good one because that'll ruin somebody's Christmas. Thanks, Eric. But yeah, there are things you can do that really represent Christmas, the meaning of Christmas. Even if you're not so much a great Christian and aren't celebrating it for Christianity, or even if you're celebrate Hanukkah and you're Jewish, this time of the year is a time for good deeds. And I think that's the biggest thing, to do things right, to go out and do something nice for someone, to do something good. So I'm going to have a couple suggestions that are really wonderful. One of them is to invite a friend. And I do that. I'm doing that this year too. I might even have one come over. It never hurts to invite. The most I'll do is say no, but at least they know that someone cares about them. So invite a friend, invite somebody you don't know, invite a neighbor, invite someone who's, on Facebook or whatever other social media you use, and just say, hey, come on over. If you want to have a real blast, maybe you're single and you have nothing better to do, invite the whole neighborhood. I think I mentioned this before, but I've done this in the summer. I have my fire pits in the spring and summer, and I invite the whole neighborhood. I put out a blast on Facebook and say, "Hey, just come over. I got beer," and I don't get a lot of them, oddly enough, but I get a few. You have great conversation, meet some wonderful people, have a lot of fun. So invite people you don't normally see over, and invite them. If you're bringing relatives and friends over, invite them over anyway, because they can meet each other. You can get together. So there's number one. And, I've learned that a couple of my good friends don't have a family, don't have family anymore, and are kind of depressed. What's one of the biggest problems this year is depression. You get in the Christmas season, maybe somebody passed away, maybe with all this COVID crap going around, and maybe somebody's, one of the older relatives died, maybe the last of your relatives died, maybe there's some sickness in your family. So depression's a major problem. You want to be sure that anybody that's a relative or a friend that's greatly depressed, invite them over, go see them, go visit, go bring something to them, bring a meal or a pie or something to them. Just some great things you can do over the Christmas. Another thing that is to, crash a church. I crash churches. There's a lot of church services, a lot of really cool ones. And every year I try to, if I can, I try to crash a church service at Christmas. We have a church across the street that's going to be doing a candlelight ceremony at 10 o'clock. Now it's going to be really cold out, so I don't know how that's going to go over. Usually they put lighted candles outside and then they have some kind of a service inside. We'll have to see how that goes. I may attend the inside if I can get out there in the frigid cold to do that. But go church hopping, even if you don't know the church and it's not your church. You're always welcome. And I've never been refused in a church. Here's another great one. We get all these scam calls. I've been doing this. This is my latest thing for this year. Normally I get mad, I cuss, I swear, I do all kinds of unchristian things when these people from India call over. And they're some real jerks. I mean, they're real jerks. And they also F you and this and that to you. And if you don't like them and if they think you hate them. So I started a new trend for Christmas in particular. I just started this year. So when they call up and they'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" I'll say, "Oh, yes, I'm doing fine." I says, "And just know you should have a Merry Christmas and Jesus loves you." Then I hang up on them. So, I mean, it's a kind of a cool thing because now you've actually passed the word that, you know, Jesus is out there for you. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be scamming people and stealing their money. And, you know, it might matter how much we hate you, we still know that Jesus loves you. And it's really cool. Some of the responses I get when I stay on the line is pretty cool. So give a scammer a chance. You know, go in there and just tell them, hey, you know, or somebody gets aggravated with you in a store or whatever. You know, same thing, and a Merry Christmas and, you know, Jesus loves you. I'll add that Jesus loves you to you. It's just, it's cool. It really is a promotion, you know, and it's pretty neat. So whatever your traditions are, you can fit them in, I'm sure, too. But just be nice and be kind to your neighbors and your people around you. So in a second, we're going to get on this history of Christmas. This is a really cool thing that it's on the history.com. But I'm also going to tell you that I did an interview this week, and rather than our normal promo for one of our sponsors, I actually did an interview with one of our sponsors this week. That I think I mentioned him last week. It was a guy that invented the Jesus doll. And at Christmas time, it's a great time to bring up something like that. He came up and told a story about how he was trying to come up with something that would be, you know, kids could learn something about religion. They could learn some of the verses in the Bible and that sort of thing. And he created this thing called the Jesus doll. It's really pretty cool because he actually was invited onto Newsmax. And apparently they gave him about 10 or 15 minutes on Newsmax to talk about this thing. And it has had phenomenal sales of this Jesus doll. You can actually see this. Now he's again one of our sponsors. It's JesusDoll.com. Go check it out. It's kind of interesting. It's a little soft plushy doll that you can give your kids. It's great for elderly too. We were talking about this on the interview, and you know, that great for elderly and senior citizens in the nursing homes and that sort of thing. And I'm thinking of getting some for the older citizens in Berwick, because I think it's just really cool. And if you use if you go there and you decide to buy something, be sure to use the promo code Eternal. You'll get 10% off whatever you buy, just as an FYI. Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. That interview is going to be posted on eternalaffairsmedia.com at some point in the near future as well. It's pretty cool. So, and thank you, Eric. I did see that. I'm not going to get into it now, but yeah, I've been following those issues and what's going on in politics. This is not a political night. This is Christmas, folks. We're in Christmas. So anything Christmas you want to say, let's do it. All right. So we all know that Christmas is celebrated on December the 25th, sacred religious holiday and a worldwide cultural and commercial phenomenon. Since for two millennia, people around the world have been observing the tradition and practices are both religious and secular in nature. Christians celebrate Christmas Day as the anniversary of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, which is obviously not right. So I don't know who wrote that. But then they do correct that later. They say that's celebrated as his birth, but we don't really know when his birth was. I believe it was in the spring because they were herding. They were doing their herding, which is, you know, not done in the wintertime. And since the middle of winter has long been a time of celebration around the world, look at all the holidays we've got. And again, it's, you know, we got Christmas, we got Hanukkah, we got, you know, and these are locked holidays that come in a certain time of the year. Always in this winter time, you got Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, you know, and a whole bunch of things that come up. And then pagan holidays as well. They all come this time of the year. Now, and I'm going to interject before I go reading, you know, verbatim some of this stuff. The all the holidays, all the Christian, if you look at every single Christian holiday, every single one of them is based on a pagan holiday. You've got all the secular holidays as well, including the non-religious ones like they're still religious, like things like Halloween. It was originally a pagan religious holiday, Samhain, which occurred on the day after. I'm trying to think, it's day after or day before. It occurred on what we now call All Saints Day. Basically, that was the pagan holiday, Samhain, and that was actually designed to get closer, rather than be a scary holiday where skeletons come to life and all that. It's supposed to be the time when the other world, the other side of the other after you die, where you go, basically, where it was the closest to the actual world we live in, and you could actually connect with those spirits. Christians took that over, and a lot of Christians say it's a bad holiday. It's not for Christians to celebrate. By the same token, we should celebrate gone ancestors at some time of the year. That's the best time to do it. Now, you know, Easter, again, Ostara. You have Ostara. It's a pagan holiday. You have a lot of other holidays, and they all connect. In December, it was Yule, and it was Saturnalia and some other pagan holidays. The Christians came in and said, you know what? We're not going to be able to have these people celebrate holidays, and they're going to be able to become Christians if we don't suck in those days. Same with Sunday, you know, where the Sabbath is Saturday. The Sabbath is not Sunday. Why do we go to church? Why do we go to church on Sunday? Well, anybody that's Jewish knows that the Jews don't do it on Sunday. They do it on the Sabbath, Saturday. You know, and the first Seventh-day Adventists celebrate the Sabbath as well on Saturday. My church celebrates on Saturday because it's the Sabbath. But again, Sunday was the Egyptian holiday for Ra, for the sun god. And if you look at it, they all pick these days because what you had a chance, if you had an old tradition, an old pagan tradition, you could turn over to Christianity and use the same day for the holiday. So a lot of people say, well, they shouldn't have really done that. And I don't know one way or the other what they should have done or shouldn't have done. But, you know, why are we celebrating the birth of Jesus in the middle of winter when it was obviously not the middle of winter? Time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But anyway, that's just my two cents on it. It's been a federal holiday. Christmas has been a federal holiday on December the 25th consistently since 1870. So you don't think it was that. It was the federal holiday. I thought it came before that, but it was 1870 became a federal holiday. You know, and it's way before the Jesus came to be. The early Europeans celebrated the light and birth in the darkest days of winter. Many people rejoiced during the winter solstice when allegedly the worst of the winter was behind them, which is actually not true either. But they could look forward, what they could look forward to is longer days and extended hours, basically, which is pretty cool. So, Christmas and Hanukkah are legit. This is Eric. Christmas is celebration of the birth of Jesus. Hanukkah commemorates the 8-day celebration of light. Now, and that's correct, Eric, but the times and the dates are wrong on it. They force it into that November, December. But when you look at, and I'll get into that on another time because I'm not getting into that as much today, but they're actually, the timing is all, you know, the for those who don't know, the Jews use a different time system. Their time starts from the creation. The creation is about 6,000 years ago, and you know, and they clock that year by year, and obviously it gets out of synchronization, which is why these things get out of sync. And then they do some kind of automatic correction, so it never cycles through the whole year, basically, which is why you always have the Jewish New Year sometime in the, you know, in the fall, in September, or whatever, and it's all locked in where it really shouldn't be. But again, they try to fit it into not just the pagan holidays, but the actual new, you know, the calendar that we use these days. In Scandinavia, the Norse celebrate Yule. Now, it's not just, again, it's not just the Norse. The Irish celebrated it. A lot of different sects celebrated Yule, which is December the 21st, the winter solstice. And they burn a Yule log. Now, the Yule log was pretty cool because I've actually seen this done. I've seen people that do that, which is pretty cool. Right. Eric says that the Jews don't use the Gregorian calendar for any. Exactly. But the Norse had a Yule log. Now, here's the cool thing about the Yule log. A lot of people don't know what a Yule log is. A Yule log is supposed to be a celebratory log. You put it in your fireplace. And you celebrate the holiday, the winter solstice, until this log burns out. But it's not a normal log. This is a tree. They would cut off and basically shove the tree in the fireplace. They would let it age and then shove the whole tree in the fireplace, basically, which is kind of cool. Time to do that, when that log would actually take 12 days to burn, approximately, you know, anywhere between 10 and 15 days. And you'd actually just stick the log in. The log would be sitting out in the middle of your living room. And as the log burned, you would push it into the fireplace. I think it's pretty interesting that they did that. And there came up, what is Boxing Day? Boxing Day basically is when you package gifts, because you box them, you package gifts and give them out. It's the day, I believe, after Christmas. And it is celebrated not just in Canada. I believe a lot of some places in the UK celebrate it. I don't know if Ireland does, but some places in UK celebrate it. And there are some other countries that celebrate Boxing Day. In Australia might also. Don't hold me to that, though. But I know there are other countries, because they were talking about that on one of the forums that were actually talking about Boxing Day, which is pretty cool. And the end of December was the perfect time to celebrate in most areas of Europe, because at that time, most of the cattle were slaughtered. Now, this is kind of cool, too. The only time you think about when you eat meat year-round, well, back in the day, they didn't eat meat year-round. They couldn't store the meat in the summer. They would eat a little bit of meat. They would hang it up and dry it and that sort of thing, pickle it was another thing they did. But when the winter time came, they couldn't feed it. There was no grass on the ground to feed them. So they would kill the animals in the winter time, and then they would have meat for the winter. But now in the winter time, the meat would stay fresh. The Germans honored the pagan god Odin. That was another midwinter holiday. The Germans were terrified of Odin, as they believed the nocturnal flights through the sky to observe his people, then decide who would prosper or perish. See, here's the same story of like the Santa Claus story, because you're looking at, you know, he knows you when you're good, he knows when you're bad, etc. In Rome, where the winters were not as harsh as those of the far north, Saturnalia, a holiday in the honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture, was celebrated. Continuing for a full month, Saturnalia was a hedonistic time when food and drink were plentiful, and the normal social Roman social order was turned upside down. For a month, enslaved people were given temporary freedom and treated as equals. I never knew that. Business and schools were closed so that everyone could participate. It's pretty cool. So we already talked about when Jesus was born, and we're gonna bypass that. Was born, but like I said, they were herding, and you don't herd in the winter. So then they say, well, it's probably in the spring, like around Easter. Well, that could be the spring, or it could be the fall, so we don't really know. But we still celebrate. Yeah, I tell you, know, there's some sticklers. The Seventh-day Adventists don't like me sometimes, even though I believe that the real Sabbath is on Saturday. But I'll say, you know, as long as you give that day to God, whether it's a Saturday to Sunday, it doesn't matter. It says you give one day to him. You know, God created the earth in 7 days and rested on the eighth, you know, what, you know, 6 days rested on the seventh. The eighth day was the start of the whole, you know, everything else. And as long as you take that day and that time for God, and you understand, if you believe that that's what you're celebrating, is that Sabbath, is that commitment to God, that in my mind is sufficient to believe it says to celebrate the Sabbath. It doesn't really specify, even though Sabbath is typically Saturday. A lot of the Jewish translation was, if I can use the word, bastardized over time. There's a lot of things in the Bible, and I'm not going to get into the Bible. That's a whole different story, but there are a lot of things in the Bible that got changed by the church, got changed by the scribes, a lot of them, to change the wording of it until it was finally set in stone and canon, and codified and locked in. There's a lot of books that are missing too in the Bible. So it's, this is what God wanted was what's left, but I mean, who knows? It's the gist of it's there basically, but I think there are some issues with it. I think we all need to look at the original scriptures and the original translations. A lot of strange things there. That's another topic for another day. So by the Middle Ages, Christianity had for the most part replaced the pagan religion. On Christmas, believers attended church, celebrated raucously in a drunken carnival-like atmosphere, similar to today's Mardi Gras. Each year, a beggar or student would be crowned the Lord of Misrule, and eager celebrants played the part of his subject. That's something I didn't know. The poor would go to the houses of the rich and demand their best food and drink. If the owners failed to comply, their visitors would most likely terrorize them with mischief. Sounds like Halloween. Christmas became a time of the year when the upper classes could repay their real or imagined debt to society by entertaining those less fortunate citizens. I bet you didn't know that. That's really pretty cool. I've learned a lot from this article. It's pretty decent. In the early 17th century, a wave of religious reform changed the way Christmas was celebrated in Europe. When Oliver Cromwell and his Puritan forces took over England in 1645, they vowed to rid England of decadence, rather. As part of their effort, they canceled Christmas, 17th century. By popular demand, Charles II was restored to the throne, and with him came the return of the popular holiday. Just like Prohibition. The Pilgrims and English separatists that came to America in 1620 were more orthodox than Puritan in their Puritan beliefs than Cromwell. As a result, Christmas was not a holiday in early America. From 1659 to 1681, the celebration of Christmas was actually outlawed in Boston. Actually outlawed. Anyone exhibiting the Christmas spirit was fined 5 shillings. That's a lot of money back then. 5 shillings. Christmas was not declared a federal holiday. By contrast, in Jamestown settlement, Captain John Smith reported that Christmas was enjoyed by all and passed without incident. After the American Revolution, the English customs fell out of favor, including Christmas. In fact, Christmas wasn't declared a federal holiday until June 26th of 1870. It wasn't until the 19th century that Americans actually began to embrace Christmas. So it's not as old as we think. Believe it or not, the New York City's first police force was created in 1828. It was created in a response to a Christmas riot. That catalyzed certain members of the upper class to begin to change the way Christmas was celebrated in America. Some cool stuff. I'm not going to get it all because we're actually running out of time. We didn't even get to talk about Santa Claus and Saint Nick. And because I'm more into the religious aspects of it. I mean, Santa Claus and those things originally was a scary character. If you ever looked at it, some of the original entities that were embraced as the Santa Claus, so to speak, were very evil looking and satanic looking creatures when they painted them. It might want to be a fun thing to look up over Christmas and say, hey, where did Santa Claus come from? And of all the films, my most favorite film for Christmas time is Christmas Carol. So I'm going to, and there was actually some things on this too. So if history.com, you can go see this. It's really pretty cool. But I like the Christmas Carol because it brings to light the fact that someone that's evil can be turned, can be brought back to light. It gives you that, because a lot of times we figure you're not going to get these Black Lives Matter people and these crazy young radicals, atheist radicals. It's going to be, sometimes you give up on them. You really do. And yet they can be turned. They can learn that there are better ways to do this. I mean, anything's better than being an atheist, because an atheist, you're basically saying, I don't believe in anything and I can do whatever I want. You know, and Christmas is a good time to promote that spirit. So everybody, you know, if I see someone that's depressed, Merry Christmas and Jesus loves you. Oh, I got to tell you one other thing before we part. We had two more minutes. Started on a quest for, I call it funeral crashing. And it seems to be going over pretty well, actually. We have a church across the street. Every so often you see a funeral, or I'll be down at the cemetery or down, and you're driving around and you see a funeral, and I'll get out and I'll just find it, you know, go up to the casket and just, you know, say a prayer and walk away. If I find the person that's had that loss, I'll go up to them. I'll say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. And the one time I did it across the street here, and this elderly lady, she must've been in her 80s. She was in tears, and I came a funeral. There must've been about eight people, 10 people tops at the funeral. And I went up to her and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry for your loss. And she looked at me kind of funny and she says, who are you? She said, well, thank you. She says, but who are you? I said, I'm just a neighbor. I live across the street. I said, I just want to let you know that you are loved and your neighbors love you and you're needed. If you ever need anything, you can always come to your neighbors and we'll be here for you. Well, she started crying and gave me a big hug. It was so wonderful, you know, and it makes you feel so good. And then this time of the year, especially, we're so close to Jesus this time of year. We're so close to God. If you're Jewish, it's you know, you're close to God too. And to show love for another human being that you don't even know necessarily, and you know, that's like the pass along thing. If you're in the line, especially at Christmas time, if you're in a line, pay for the person behind you. Pay, you know, and pay it forward like that. It's such a great feeling. It's a much better feeling than keeping that money in your pocket or doing nothing. So that's my Christmas story for all. I hope you appreciated it. No politically incorrect stuff today. So we're, you know, this is not a time to argue about politics. It's a time to love Jesus and love Christmas. So God bless every one of you. And I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Get with your friends, get with your family, and just have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And thank you, Marilyn. Thank you all for coming to the podcast as well. Come back every week. There's a different thing every week. It's going to be really wonderful. It's a new year coming up. New set of podcasts. I can't believe I'm going on almost going over 2 years at this point in doing the podcast. So very, very proud of that. We have a lot of followers. And it's just wonderful. So bring some more people on board for us. And I'm about to sneeze. So I'm going to try to end the podcast so I don't have to sneeze in your face. So everybody have a wonderful... Too late. I guess I get a God bless for that one. So yes, and thank you so much, Eric. I could not stop that. I didn't have the mute button ready. So everybody have a great holiday. Anna, we'll see you. She's coming over to, you know, over the weekend. Terrible, terrible weather. Hopefully everybody can make it. There you go. All right. Eric sneezing a podcast. This is the first time I've done it in 2 years. I can't believe it. But anyway, you folks have a great, I'm not going to ramble on. I'm just going to wish you a Merry Christmas. Be back next week before New Year's. We'll talk about the new year and what's happening in 2023. That'll be the update of this year and a prelude to next year. God bless everyone and stay safe. Good night, everybody. God bless.